And if you would, go ahead and turn in your copy of the Word with me to Psalm 125. So whether that's on your phone, your iPad, tablet, or as Christian likes to call it, your analog version of your phone or your Bible. So Psalm 125 this morning is where we're going to be. And over the course of the last several weeks, what we've been doing is we've been going through the Psalms of Ascent. And in the last few weeks, we've been looking at this idea of trusting in the Lord, right? Psalm 123, 124, and 125 has kind of been centered around this theme or this idea of what it means and what it looks like to find our trust in the Lord and recognize Him as our true source of help. And not only as individuals, we are to do that as individuals, but we are to do that as a body of believers, right? As people together, as the church. You see, these last three psalms that we've gone over are corporate psalms, right? They're the songs being sung together by the people of God as they're going and journeying their way to Jerusalem. And they're expressing their frustration, they're expressing their complaint, they're lamenting together and worshiping together and finding resolution in the Lord together. And I think that this is important for us to see and understand as a people, because our faith, right, our journey with the Lord, it's not just ours. Right? We like to think of it as ours. We like to think of it as just belonging to me, and your faith is your faith, my faith is my faith. And there is an individual aspect to it, for sure. I'm not going to deny that. However, right, we can't just let it stay there. We can't just let it be our faith and not join in community with one another. Right? We're meant to embark on this journey towards Jesus together, right? With our brothers and our sisters in the faith. We're meant to be there for one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, to pick one another up. Right? The Bible says to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. We're to be in community together, and to make sure that our brothers and our sisters in the faith don't go without their needs being met, right? That's all found in Scripture, meaning we're to flourish and we're to thrive together, right? As a people that belong together. That's the beauty of the church. That's the beauty of what this is about. That's what makes it so much different from any other community in our society. That's how God created it to be. And so the reality is that it's not just about your journey with the Lord and their journey with the Lord. Right, it's about you doing it together. It's about us coming together and pursuing Christ together as a body, as a family. And so my encouragement for each one of you this morning is to see this, right? To seriously spend some time in prayer over this one thing, to seek the Lord's wisdom and direction for that in your life. And then, right, we want to see you to plug in, right? To connect together, to connect with one another. And our desire as a church, y'all heard me say this a minute ago, is to connect people to each other, right? We want to connect people to God by connecting them to one another in authentic communities and connect groups. And yes, this is a shameless plug for connect groups, but we believe in it, right? We believe in the power of those groups. And so we want to make sure that you are having the opportunity and the place to either lead that and host that or to connect in it. We believe in the power of it, and we pray and we desire to see all of you, right? Every single one of you involved in a connect group, to spending time together outside of this moment right here, to sharing a meal together, to praying together, to studying God's word together and serving in community together. And you probably heard that word a lot, together, right? But it's important. Because all of these psalms, the last 3 weeks that we've been looking at, Psalm 123, 124, and 125, like I said, it's communal. It's together. They're doing this together, and they're growing in their relationship with the Lord together. But here's the reality of all of it. We can't do it on our own. Right? We can't do this thing that we call our faith on our own. We can try. Right? We can show up. We can master up the courage and the strength to be vulnerable with one another, to be transparent and real and authentic to a degree. But listen, if we're trying to do that on our own, if we're trying to do that with the Lord, without the Lord's help, that's only going to last for so long. what's going to end up happening is you're going to wake up and you're like, I don't really feel like that today, so I'm just not going to go. And you make an excuse, and then one excuse leads to the next, and before you know it, it's weeks on out, and you're like, man, I haven't been to church, or I haven't been to Connect Group, or I haven't been to Bible study, I haven't been to prayer meeting in I don't know how long. And then you just stop connecting, you stop being in community together. And so my prayer is we don't let this happen, right? That we lean into the truth and the fact that we need the Lord's help to do this, right? We need him. We need to learn to fully trust in the Lord as our help, as the one who stands by our side. Not just in the hard times in life, not just when things are difficult or when tragedy strikes or when work or family or finances are hard, but that we learn to trust in the Lord as our true source of help in all areas of our life, right? Especially in our community life, in doing life together. And then, right, we need to grow in our trust with the Lord on a daily basis, trusting that he is the provider of all things. He is the provider of all things good and all things right and all things beautiful in this world. And trusting that he is our help when things are not good and right and beautiful. See, I have this amazing opportunity and privilege to walk through discipleship with a couple of different guys, and it's really a great thing that I get to do. And we're going through this program that we'll eventually be implementing here as a body of as a people called Like Jesus. It's an incredible program, discipleship program. But this past week, with one of the guys that I meet with, the topic that we were talking about is trusting in the Lord. And it's really cool how the Lord works like that, right? You'll ever hear something or go to a Bible study or a Connect Group or this time right here, and then later in the week you hear something, you're like, oh yeah, like those things go hand in hand. Does that ever happen to y'all? Right? The Lord does that all the time in order to try to teach us and show us in his merciful grace who he is. And I think that's what he was doing in this. We were going through this and looking at what it means to trust in the Lord. And what it was talking about is when we trust in the Lord, we realize and we recognize that he is the one who provides, right? He provides. He provides everything, that he's our help. And the more that we come to this realization in our lives, the more that we're going to lean into this truth on a daily basis. And the more we lean into this truth on a daily basis, the more we're going to see and understand the beauty of his peace, the peace that only comes from him. And the more that we live on in his peace, the more we're going to trust him, right? It's kind of how this works. It's a full circle. But having this peace in our lives, it also begins with trusting in him, right? Trusting in the Lord, trusting that he is truly where our help comes from. And so we're going to see that today in Psalm 125. And so let's pray and we'll jump into the word together. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that we do get to come and be here together with our brothers and our sisters in Christ, with people that we maybe don't know yet. What a beautiful thing, Father, that you bring us all together into this place for a reason, and we trust you in it. And so, Lord, today as we hear your word, Father, we pray that you open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what you have for each and every single one of us today. We pray that you be lifted up and glorified. Father, and we thank you that your word always, always accomplishes its task. So we pray for that this morning in this place. It's in your name that we all pray. Amen. All right, so this psalm is a continuation of Psalm 123 and 124, and this is what the psalmist writes in Psalm 125. He says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers." And then the psalmist ends with this, "Peace be upon Israel." Right, so like I said, this is a continuation of the previous two psalms. And if you remember, Psalm 123 and 124, what we saw was the lament of the people, right? Their complaint that ultimately finds its trust in the Lord. And in the world, right, what they were complaining about is the world was pressing in around them, right? They were suffocating. They were in over their heads. But in Psalm 124, what we see is they remembered the rescuing hand of the Lord, and that he had rescued them time after time after time. And then here in Psalm 125, what we see is the result of this trust. Right? We see and experience the firm foundation that their trust is in. And we see and we get to experience the steadfastness that the Lord provides his people, the security that the Lord surrounds his people with, and then the goodness and the justice of the Lord to both the righteous and the wicked. We see the resolution of their complaint, right? And so the first thing that the psalmist conveys is the steadfastness of the Lord. Right? The psalmist starts this psalm by saying, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Right? See, the psalmist, what they're saying here is that those who put their trust, who put their faith in the Lord, cannot be shaken because, and hear this, the Lord cannot be shaken, right? And that he will remain forever. In Psalm 46, we see similar language in verses 1 through 2. It says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And hear this, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God is immovable, right? He's unshakable. He cannot be changed. He cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist says that those who put their faith in him, right, those who trust in him can rest assured that he will never falter. He will never fail. He will never forsake us. Listen, this doesn't make our trust or our faith in him entirely immovable. I want you to understand that. Right? It doesn't make our faith so strong that it cannot be shaken, because I think if you've gone through hard times in your life, there's been times where you've doubted the Lord, right? There's been times where your faith maybe was put to the test and questioned, and that's okay. What this psalm does and what the psalmist is telling us is that it makes our faith and our trust stronger and stronger because we can trust in the one who is immovable. We can trust in the one who is unshakable. Right? Those who trust in Christ can rest in the fact that Christ is immovable. He can't be shaken. Right, he's the one who is unshakable. Peter Scazzaro, he's a former pastor and current author, shared this thought on Instagram the other day, and I think it fits right in with this. He said, our confidence is not in the love, is not in our love for Jesus, which is fragile, fickle, and limited, but it's in his love for us, which is unbreakable, faithful, and without conditions. Man, what great truth there is in that. That's good news, right? That is not upon our ability to love him in the fragile fickleness of that love, but it's on him loving us, which cannot be changed. See, when life seems to be coming in at us on all sides, like it was for the psalmist in the last three psalms and the people of Israel, when it feels like we're drowning in a raging storm, when work is suffocating, or when it feels like our marriage is about to end and won't ever change, we don't have to beat ourselves up because we doubt God's goodness in those moments. Right? That makes matters worse if we're honest with ourselves. Right? We don't have to condemn ourselves for faltering in our trust in the Lord. Instead, we can rest assured and grow in our faith and our trust because he can't be moved. Because he's immovable, he's unshakable, and he is forever. Which in turn means that as we trust in the Lord, the psalmist says we are like Mount Zion. When we are struggling in our faith, we can know that God is on our side and that he is with us and that he is for us, that he is by our side. and that he cannot be shaken, that he is steadfast. See, the psalmist then goes on to give us a picture of the refuge of the Lord as well. In verse 2, the psalmist writes, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Right, Jerusalem, as you know, it's on Mount Zion, and Mount Zion is surrounded by a bunch of other mountains that are actually bigger and taller than it is. Right, and so essentially what these mountains do is they create this natural wall of defense that surrounds the city of Jerusalem and its inhabitants. And any attacking enemies, what they would have to do is they would either have to go up and over the mountain, or they would have to go through the valleys, making themselves susceptible to Israel's defenses. Right, and so Jerusalem, essentially, it made it very difficult to overtake. Not impossible, right? If you've ever read the Old Testament, you know that Jerusalem was overthrown time after time, but it made it difficult. And so the word picture here that the psalmist is painting is that the Lord, right, Yahweh, surrounds his people, just like the mountains surrounded Mount Zion, right? Like the mountains that surround Jerusalem is the God who surrounds us. Right, that's the truth that is being conveyed. It's a picture of protection. It's a picture of security in this moment. And so what the psalmist is doing is he's helping us remember where our security ultimately comes from. And he's reminding us that the Lord's safekeeping, right, his protection is forever. It doesn't end. Right, I love what Eugene Peterson said about this. He says, being a Christian is like sitting in the middle of Jerusalem, fortified and secure, because we are in the midst of the Lord. Right, in Christ, we are secure forever. We are held in his safekeeping forever, which means that it's not about our works or about our abilities to live perfectly. It's about his ability to keep us secure. And in that, we can trust. Right, in that, we can live in freedom. Now, obviously, that doesn't give us permission to go on and sin and do whatever we want with our lives, right? That's not what I'm saying. We are called to live like Christ. We are called to take sin seriously and to live righteously. And we're called to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. But hear this, church. Praise Jesus that grace is not earned. Right? Praise Jesus that his grace is not earned. Right, because of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, right, when we profess our faith in him and we give him our lives, his word promises us and tells us that we are his and he is ours forever. Right, forever. He keeps us and he protects us. But again, this doesn't necessarily mean that no harm or no trials or no hardships or difficult times will never come our way, right? That's not what Scripture teaches. If we believe that, we're reading it wrong. Because they're going to come, right? That's the reality of life. That's what we see in verse 3, right? Verse 3 says this, "For the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong." Right, in the Old Testament, the term scepter was typically referred to as nations or kingdoms. And so what the psalmist is saying here is that no wicked or evil nation or king will remain, hear that, right, remain in control over the people of Israel as long as the people of Israel trust in the Lord. Right, the idea here is not that Israel would never have a foreign king or a foreign and wicked nation rule over it, because it did. Right, King Nebuchadnezzar was one of the worst. But what it does mean is that rule will not last. It will not remain. Right, for those who trust in the Lord, because their king, our king, is eternal. Right, he's a king that is a good king. He's a king that is the king of all kings. He's King Jesus. Right, so as we trust in Jesus Christ, as we follow him as our king, we are secure no matter what comes our way. Right? He will never let us go. He will never leave us. He will never fail us. He will never forsake us. Right? We very well may face persecution and even death. Very well. But we can live in peace knowing that we are His forever. But the opposite of this is true too, right? If we do not trust in Jesus as our Savior, we will continually turn to other things in our life, other things in this world, over and over and over again, hoping to find what only Christ can provide, what only Christ can give us, right? We'll turn to drugs or sex or money or marriages or even our kids or our jobs or our 401ks, or the list goes on and on and on, right? We'll turn to these things, all sorts of things, but here's the thing, all of these things will fail us, right? They will let us down. They won't keep us the same way that Christ does. So those who trust in Christ can trust that we are secure in Him and that we are secure forever. The final picture that the psalmist shows us in this psalm is this, that God is just and His justice is both good and right. Right, He's just and His justice is good and right. The psalmist recognizes that the Lord is good, and he pleads for His justice, right? He pleads for the Lord to do good to the good and to do what He needs to do to the wicked. He says this, he says, "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts, but those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with the evildoers." See, all throughout the Bible, what we see is literally two options for people, right? We have two options, one to choose. We can't choose both, right? And we see that the option of living in and trusting in the way of Christ, or we see the option of living in and trusting in the ways of this world, right? And God, who is a just God, acts justly on people living in both of these options, meaning His justice is good for those who trust in and live in Him, and His justice is right for those who live in and trust in this world. Right? He is good and does good for those who follow Him and trust in Him and live in Him. Right? In His great mercy, He redeems us. He restores us. He gives us life abundantly in this world as we know it. And He gives us life for eternity. Right? He heals our relationships. He breaks our chains of bondage. He fills us with joy and peace. But for those that choose crooked ways, right? For those that choose the ways of this world, get this. He gives them what they're after. Right? He gives them what they want. Those things that are not satisfying, those things that are not healing, those things that are not restorative, that are not good. And they become chains that bind us. And chains that hurt us. Right? Psalm 1 is a picture of this. Right? So if you turn over to Psalm chapter 1, the psalmist writes this. He says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." That's choice option one. Option two, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Romans 1, 24 and 25 says the same thing. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read this. It says, "Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Right? God is a just God, and we can trust in His justice. We can trust that He will be good for those that are upright in heart. He will be good for those who put their trust and their faith in Him, those that follow after Him and pursue them with their lives. And we can also trust that He will prevail against the wicked. He will give them over to what it is that they're after, and they will be like chaff that the wind blows away. right? This psalm, essentially what it should do for us is it should lead us to make two confessions in our life, right? It should lead us to confess that, one, the world is not as it should be. I think we all know this, right? That things are broken, things are messed up all over this world, including ourselves, right? It should open our eyes to see that this world can be and is a dangerous place to live, right? That there are people and that there are forces in this world who choose crooked and evil ways, and they're blinded to the truth of Christ in their lives, right? And they're trying to bring others with them. But it also should lead us to confess and to live into the reality that God can be trusted as we fully live in this world. I want y'all to hear that, right? Let that sink in. He can be trusted as we what? Fully live in this world. Right? That the God who is immovable, the God who is our refuge and strength, the God who is just and whose justice is good and right is the same God who is on our side, right? He's the same God who is with us and who is for us. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same God. He never changes. And the more that we can experience that truth, the more we can experience him, the more we can experience his goodness and his grace in our lives. And the more we experience his goodness and his grace in our lives, the more we will know and understand his peace. Right? And the more that we know and understand his peace, the more that we live in his peace. See, the psalmist ends this corporate psalm with this benediction. He says, "Peace be upon Israel." Right? This is the theme of this psalm. Right? This is the resolution that the people of Israel have been after since the beginning of Psalm 123. Right? And this is the resolution that I'm going to say we're after too. Right? We want peace in this world. We want peace in our life. We want shalom. We want wholeness. And the best news is this. We can have it because it's right here for us because of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. He is perfect peace, right? He is peace incarnate. He is what we are after, right? When we place our faith, we place our trust in Jesus Christ and we follow him and we lean into his ways, we are filled with his peace, right? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And we're filled with that because we are filled with Jesus Christ. Listen, church, you will never find peace on your own, right? That's why doing this together is so important, right? You will find things that promise peace, right? You will find things that promise steadfastness and that promise stability. You're going to find things that promise security and safekeeping and all the sorts, right? And you'll find things that promise justice and goodness. And here's the deal. They may even give you those things for a little bit, but only for a little bit, right? Only momentarily, and then it goes away. But only Jesus Christ can give you the perfect peace that you are truly looking for. Right? And so to sum it up, the more that we lean into the trust that is found in Christ, the more we can live in his perfect peace. Right? We need to trust Jesus Christ. So my prayer for us this morning is that we can do that, right? That we can learn to trust in the only one that can be trusted. That we can learn to trust in Jesus more and more and more, and that we can see his goodness and we can see his beauty, and that we can fall more in love with him and we can pursue him more and more as a people together. Right? I don't want you to do this alone. I don't want to do it alone. Right? I want to do this with you, all of you. I want to pursue the peace of Christ with you in your life as you help me pursue the peace of Christ with me in my life. Right? I want to trust Christ more and more and more together. And I want to see more people being connected to Christ and to his peace together because we're living in authentic community together. But here's the deal. We need his help to do it, right? We can't do it on our own. We need his peace in our lives. And guess what? He's ready to give it to us. He's ready to offer his perfect peace to us as we trust in him more and more and more. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth. We thank you that you are our source of peace, Father, and that you do bring resolution to our complaints. Father, as we lament and complain, God, I pray that we will continually, ultimately find our trust in you. But God, I pray that we can do it together as the people of Israel showed us this in these Psalms. That it's not just about me. It's not just about us individually, but it's about us together living as the body of Christ, as a family, as brothers and sisters, trusting in you, seeking your peace. So Jesus, I pray, Father, that this morning, God, we can profess that truth. We confess in our lives that we search for peace in the wrong places. We search for peace in the things that will never bring us peace. But God, that you do. You give us peace because you are steadfast. You're immovable. You're unshakable. You give us peace because you give us security forever, like the mountains that surround Mount Zion. Father, and you are a just God whose justice is good and right. So Lord, help us to trust in you in our daily lives more and more and more. Help us to put our faith in you, to walk with you, to abide in you. Because we can't do it on our own. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.